Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Wednesday, June 21st. I'm Ray Graff. Well, it's our Pets and Vets show today, and joining us is veterinarian Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin of Del Mar Animal Hospital. You can give us a call right now if you have a pet question, 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. If you wish, you may email us at voxpop@wamc.org, voxpop@wamc.org. We will get to as many emails as we can, as many calls as we can, too. So I suggest you call early, 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. Pets and Vets today, Carrie O'Loughlin is our guest. We begin after the news. Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Well, it's our Pets and Vets program this afternoon, and here to take your calls is none other than Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin of Del Mar Animal Hospital in Del Mar, New York. Our number is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. You can also email the program at voxpop@wamc.org, voxpop@wamc.org. is the number, or is the email address. But again, the number is 800-348-2551. It's a call-in show, and it's 9 minutes after 2. Always a pleasure to welcome Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin. Welcome back.
Well, thank you. It's always a pleasure to be here.
How are things at the Animal Hospital?
We're doing well. We're actually doing a bunch of renovations right now.
Oh, really?
Yes. At least what I've been told, our animal hospital was the first freestanding building built specifically to be an animal hospital in New York State.
It's been there a long time, since I was a little kid.
1961, I believe it was built.
Older than me, even. Wow.
Yeah, the hospital itself, the practice started in Clarksville, and where the Clarksville post office now is. And they built the new building and moved in the early 60s. And you know, they did a great job building it, but some things need some updating. So we're doing floors and all sorts of stuff.
You're getting a nice corner office now?
Yeah, no.
No, not really?
No.
We have to work on that. Our number here is 800-348-2551. The lines are already loading up, so why don't we just go right to the calls. And Carmen in Albany. Carmen, you're first.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
My question is, and really it's more, I'm looking for advice. I saved my dog around 2 years ago. When I got her, she was very, very timid, scared of everything, she had been through something very traumatic. So I've had her for 2 years now. She has adjusted really well. She's doing great. I live alone, and I work a regular 40-hour week, 9 to 5. That's pretty difficult as it is. She's alone in the house around 9 hours. I get home, and it's like, you know, we love to see each other. We're both happy. It's great. Well, something's going on at my work, and I'm going to start getting a lot of overtime. Now I'm thinking she's going to be home, could be a couple hours more a night. I'm having a very hard time. I don't know if it's better for her to maybe, if I could try to replace her with a family that would fit, or, you know, is it better to come home maybe a little later, but she still gets me, the person she's used to.
Okay. All right. Good question.
So, Carmen, a couple of things to think about. One, you know, certainly you could try and find someone who'd be willing to take her, who has, you know, who doesn't work as much. But rehoming a dog, it's hard on them, and it's often hard to find people, especially a dog who, you know, kind of got off to a rough start and is timid. Another thought is there are a lot of people in this area that are dog walkers that will come and take your dog out in the middle of the day and play with it for a little while, take it for a walk. So that's something to consider. And there's also several places in the area that do doggy daycare. And they will often match your, you know, if she's timid, they will often match her with other dogs that are, you know, going to be not rough and tumble on her and things like that. So those are a couple of things to think about.
Those are two great ideas. Carmen?
They are. The dog walker, I'm not really okay with. I've had some issues. I really don't want anybody in my house or have access. But the doggy daycare is something I hadn't thought of, and sounds like it could be a good solution because we're both very happy with each other. We love each other. I don't want to give her up. And I'm looking for a solution, doctor. So that was actually really good advice. I think I'll look into that.
Good. Well, there are several places in Albany, so I would definitely check into it.
Carmen, thank you very much. Our number is 800-348-2551. Let's go over to Kathy in Egremont. Kathy.
Hi. I have a question about standing. My dog's drinking standing water in the yard. There's no long-term standing water, but I've recently gotten about a 2x4-foot tray that I water my plants in. And there is standing water there for a day or two max, but they seem to love it. So the two things I'm worried about is mosquito larvae. It's not there long enough for the mosquitoes to actually hatch. But I'm worried about the larvae. And the second is the leaching of nutrients from feeding the plants into the water. Is that going to hurt my dogs?
Well, number one, I wouldn't worry about mosquito larvae. If they are ingesting mosquito larvae, it's just a little extra protein meal for them. So I wouldn't worry about that. You know, we're really worried about dogs being bitten by mosquitoes and getting heartworm disease. So that's the only mosquito thing we worry about. And some dogs have sensitivity to mosquito bites.
Right.
So you do want to keep the larvae, you know, if you're dumping the trays out on a regular basis.
I am.
As far as the plant food, I don't know. I mean, if they drink concentrated plant food, it might cause digestive upset. A little bit leaching out of the bottom of a plant, you know, I guess the only way to know is if they start having, my guess would it would cause stomach upset. So if you start noticing that, then, you know, just trying to keep those trays dumped as much as you can.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Wow, satisfied customer. Kathy, thank you very much. Carrie O'Loughlin is our guest. The number is 800-348-2551. It's Vox Pop, and it's our Pets and Vets edition today. We go over to Mary in Ballston Spa. Hi, Mary, you're on.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm curious about adopting a dog. We're adopting our first dog. We've had dogs before, but we have two little kids, and I wonder if you have any advice for a good introduction for a new dog who's coming up from the South, and we don't know.
So as far as interacting with the children, is that what you're concerned about, or just adopting a dog in general?
Just in general, what's some advice that you have for people who are adopting dogs? What's a good way to introduce them to the house or the neighborhood or the kids?
Okay. Well, if you're looking at getting an adult, I always say start off like they're a puppy. So you start from scratch. I don't trust them in the house loose. I would, you know, get a crate. And you basically start with puppy 101, whether you're told they're housebroken or not. And they are praised for good behavior, a quick reprimand for bad behavior, and then immediately show them the good behavior you want. And once they prove themselves, I kind of give it a month. If they've gone a month with all good behavior, then they get freedom in the house. And, you know, sometimes with an adoption dog, you don't need to go the whole month. You know, if they're really a great dog and they're right from the get-go showing that they've got good behavior, then fantastic. But, you know, generally I just say treat them like they're a new puppy.
Okay. Should we bring the kids to meet the dog first?
Oh, I think that was a great idea. Absolutely. How old are your children?
3 and 4.
Okay. The only concern I can see is if there is a problem with the dog and then the kids are like latched on at first sight. There could be a little drama involved with that. But, you know, if there's any way you could go see the dog first and get a feel for how that you think the dog might be. And then bring the kids, you know, if it's a total crazy lunatic and you're like, oh, no way, you know, you don't want the kids to meet it and fall in love at first sight. So.
Right.
All right, Mary. Well, thank you very much for the call. Carrie O'Loughlin is our guest. 800-348-2551, the number. In general, is it more problematic to adopt an adult dog?
No, not necessarily. You know, certainly adult dogs can come with some baggage. Anytime a dog has been to more than one home, they are at a higher risk for having some behavior issues because you don't know what they've been through and what training they've had. But boy, I've met a lot of dogs people have adopted that they say they're just the best dog they ever had. So, you know, I certainly wouldn't be against adopting adult dogs. I think it's a great idea.
Carrie O'Loughlin, our guest. Let's go back to the phones at 800-348-2551. Mark in Salem. Mark, you're on.
Hi. Thank you, doctor. I have two cats that, one last year that showed up in my barn by himself. His eyes hadn't changed color, so he was probably, what, 3-4 weeks old. But he was on solid food. And he's a perfect tuxedo black, if you can imagine that.
Yeah.
I mean, absolutely perfect with a black cummerbund and the whole thing. He has, and he tends to attract, his sensitive skin. It's not a flea, and it's not really a tick that I can identify. I've been on, it goes right around the eyelids and the sensitive parts of the ears, and they are relatively completely round, and I can't identify them. They have antenna.
Are they little tiny round black, kind of a shiny almost?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. That is a tick larva.
Oh.
That's a form of a tick.
Well, I looked under the larva on the computer, and they showed two types. They showed dogs, and they showed deer tick, and yeah. They didn't look like either one.
Yeah, but there is a tick around here we see with the cats, that they get them right around their eyelids especially.
What's the best thing to do for that?
Just pull them off.
That's what I've been doing.
Thankfully, ticks don't bother cats for the most part. They don't appear to get Lyme disease or any of the tick-borne diseases. Sometimes they'll get a little bump or a scab. More with the adult ticks than the larva. The larva don't seem to bother them at all.
And then I put a little bit of antibacterial cream on it.
Yeah, you probably don't even need to do that. Just pull them off, and they'll usually be fine.
So the other problem is that this year's adoptee, the cat is 2 years old, about 2 years old, has had two litters of kittens, and was extremely malnourished during the time and lost a lot of her fur, all that kind of thing. I mean, all the signs of malnutrition. Now, we've had her spayed, and she's had her shots. She's doing very well with the other cats, and she's putting on weight, and her hair is growing back.
Good.
I've been giving her she won't eat people food, just cat food.
Good.
And I give her milk. Is there anything, brewer's yeast, anything I should supplement?
No, I just, good cat food and water, and, ideally, is she on dry food or canned food?
Both.
Okay, yeah. The canned food's going to be the best for her. The dry food, cats don't always deal with the carbs appropriately.
Yeah.
But in general, it sounds like she'll just recover great.
Fantastic. Mark, thanks for the call. We have to take a break here. Carrie O'Loughlin is our guest. 800-348-2551 is the number on this Pets and Vets edition of Vox Pop. We'll be right back.
Support for WMC comes from Culligan Water of the Northeast. For over 80 years, providing pure drinking water as well as options for problem water at home and at work. CulliganNortheast.com. Shannon Rose Design, Saratoga Springs, New York. Working to help companies and organizations express their identities through corporate branding, web design and development, and graphic design for almost 3 decades. ShannonRose.com. Colby Attorney Service, document filing, document and information retrieval, and other services, including legal publishing and corporate record searches, ColbyService.com. Empire State English, with locations in Colony and Saratoga Springs, New York, offering English instructions for business people and ESL students, esenglish.org. And Boyden & Perrin, Amherst, Massachusetts, providing foreign and domestic car, truck, and SUV repair services, and a Massachusetts inspection station for over 50 years. BoydenandPerrin.com.
It's Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff here. Our number is 800-348-2551. Pets and Vets today with Carrie O'Loughlin. And the email address is voxpop@wamc.org. Carrie, this one came in from Francesca, who says, our cockapoo loves bits of chicken, cooked ground beef, other meats mixed into her regular dog food. Sometimes we mix those dinner scraps into her dish. Is this harmful to their health in any way? Thank you.
Yes and no. The first thing is weight issues. How is a dog fit and lean and mean,
mm-hmm.
than having a couple of scraps of lean meat in, and lean is the appropriate word, is not going to be harmful. But that's the number one of the number one reasons why we have fat pets is all the table scraps that they get. And also with dogs can be very sensitive to fat. So fatty, you don't want to cut the fat off your steak and throw it in your dog's dish. You're just going to,
they don't like
sick.
Fat.
It can give them pancreatitis.
Ooh.
And they can get either mildly ill or deathly ill.
Oh boy.
So, yes, I've unfortunately lost a number of my patients to pancreatitis. So, no fat.
Okay.
Fat is bad.
Fair enough. And thank you for that email. Our number is 800-348-2551. And back to the phones we go. Kenneth in Salisbury Mills, you're on.
How you doing?
Good. Hang on. Are you on a cell phone, Kenneth?
Yeah.
Yeah, connection's a little sketchy. So, best to ask your question and then hang it up. Are you still there?
Hello?
Hello. Try it again.
Oh, yes, I'm here.
Okay, go ahead.
Am I coming through okay?
Relatively speaking. Let's get that question out.
All right. I have a 7-year-old Staffordshire Terrier who just recently got diagnosed with Lyme disease, and he's currently on the doxycycline. I just want to know what to expect once the prescription is up. Is it going to kill it, or... What do I expect with this?
Okay, Kenneth, a couple of quick questions. Was your dog ill? Was it showing signs of Lyme disease? Or did it just test positive on a routine test?
Yeah, it went in for its annual checkup, and it tested positive, and it took they took a urine analysis, and it came up in his urine, red blood cells and stuff like that. They put him on a prescription of doxycycline for a month. I just want to know, I never actually got to speak to a vet. I only spoke to the girl in the front desk. But what will that prescription do?
Well, the hope is the prescription is going to kill the bacteria in the dog's body. The follow-up, if there is a follow-up test, so the test they do in the office is a yes or no test. We get a little blue dot, and that says it's positive. There is another test that can be done that's called a quantitative C6. And that gives you a number. So, it gives you a quantitative number. So it'll give you like 356, which is really high.
In other words, of what though? Bacteria.
It's the antibodies against the Lyme bacteria.
So a high count means a high concentration of the.
Yes.
Okay.
So greater than 30 is considered to be abnormal on the quantitative C6. So they often, if you're not sure that they actually have Lyme, you get a positive on your in-house test, you can send this quantitative C6 out. If that comes up high, then you can treat them. Or if they're showing clinical signs, you can treat them. If they are high and you treat them, 6 months later you recheck that quantitative C6, it should have come way down, and that tells you the treatment was successful. So you have to wait six months, but, you know, I would treat, and then 6 months later you can retest them.
You said showing signs. What are some of the signs?
So the most common signs of Lyme disease are lameness, because it attacks the joints.
Mm-hmm.
It can just be one joint. It can be multiple joints. It can be shifting, so it can they'll be lame on one leg one day and another leg another day. The joints are often swollen and warm to the touch.
Mm-hmm.
They run fevers, so they go from being the happy-go-lucky dog to the kind of mopey-dopey, don't-feel-good dog.
Yeah.
In worst-case scenario, as he was saying, they were checking urine, we check the urine for protein, because there's a form of Lyme disease where the kidneys go into a form of protein-losing failure. And so you get tons of protein in the urine. And that's the most serious form, because that can kill them.
So once it has progressed to that stage, can you cure the dog?
You can still treat them, but unfortunately, the kidney form is actually the dog's immune system responding abnormally towards the Lyme bacteria. And it's the immune system attacking the kidneys, not the Lyme itself attacking the
kidneys.
But
can the kidney function be restored?
You can manage it.
Okay.
But they always have some form of kidney disease from then on, usually.
All right, let's go to Kevin in Hudson. Kevin, you're on.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. My name is Kevin. I'm having a little problem, and it's more of a legal thing. I have this dog, 140 pounds. He's a gorgeous shepherd husky mix. And I was sick and I had to go to the hospital. He's a service dog. And I gave the dog to friends of mine to watch the dog while it was in the hospital, and I also gave him an Audi Quattro car to watch the dog. Now, it was gone for 5 months. And I come back, and I get myself a nice little apartment in Hudson, and I want the dog to come back home because he's a service. I love him. And they won't give him back.
I don't know if a vet can. I mean, officer, maybe.
The people who are watching the dog for you now want to keep him permanently?
Yes. Yeah, I know. I just was wondering if maybe the vet would, because I'm dealing with the vet, my vet, and she doesn't want to get involved. Now, she was giving them shots and knew that the dog, actually, she took care of the dog that was actually their vet. But the as far as I know, the vet that was treating him understood that the dog was mine. But right now, the vet doesn't even want to get involved in it because she doesn't want to lose another client and yada, yada. That's maybe something that she could help me a little bit more at. Are the legal?
Yeah, I guess the only things I could say is, was he licensed? Did you have him licensed under your name?
He was serviced. He wasn't licensed.
Okay. Is he listed as a service dog under your name?
Yes.
Okay. And do you have veterinary records under your name?
I have veterinary records and where I adopted him.
Okay. Yeah, I think this would end up being a lawyer thing. I think you'd have to get a lawyer to take your records and say, this is my dog.
Well, is it theft? Can you just call the police and say this is theft?
I don't know. I really don't know.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I think you'd have to talk to a lawyer.
Okay. Kevin, that's an interesting
one.
That's
a bummer.
Thank you very much for that. Tom in Waterford. Tom, you're next.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, great. We have about a 5.5-year-old rescue. Very slim, healthy, active dog who all of a sudden about 2 weeks ago started favoring her right front leg. And I manipulated it and massaged her and gone between all her paw, you know, each one of her toes. She's in no pain anywhere, but just, you know, occasionally limps and favors it. And some days she looks almost okay and some days not so okay. And we're just a little confused. There's no outward sign of injury. She didn't do anything that we know of to tweak it. And we're just wondering what we might ought to do.
Well, you know, I will tell you, first of all, dogs often are really tough about showing pain. The limp tells you she's got pain because they don't limp unless it hurts.
Yeah.
So the time she's limping, it's hurting. The time she's not limping, it's not hurting.
Yeah.
But to get them to actually go ow over one spot can be hard. Some dogs are just really stoic that way. And front legs, even for a veterinarian, can be hard to diagnose. They just, you know, there aren't a lot of things. You can't wiggle a loose ligament like even in a knee. And, you know, if there's no swelling in a joint, it can be hard. So often it takes x-rays to get a diagnosis. Have you been to see the vet at all?
We haven't done anything. We called the vet. They said two baby aspirins per day, watch her for a week, and that's coming up to next week.
Okay.
And if it doesn't get any better, bring her in.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and they also, dogs are very front leg heavy. You know, they bear more of their weight on the front end. So it's harder for them to rest it. So it always takes a little longer for any kind of a tweak or a sprain or a strain to go away in a front leg. Because if it's a hind leg, they'll just run along on three legs and hold the leg up. But they can't hop along on one leg in the front nearly as easily. So they just keep re-hurting it and re-hurting it and re-hurting it. So it will take longer to get better.
And if it doesn't get better, x-rays is the next?
Yeah, probably at least an exam by the vet, and sometimes it may need x-rays.
But if it's muscular, it won't show up on an x-ray.
No, you're not going to see anything.
Well, Tom, thank you and good luck. We appreciate it. Our number is 800-348-2551. Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin is our guest. Andrew in Slingerlands. Andrew, you're on.
Thank you so much for taking my call. A lot about ticks today. We are in Slingerlands and Tick Central.
Yeah.
My daughter just turned 7. We are going to get her a rescue dog for her birthday. We'll investigate, find someone who wants a forever home. I'm hoping for a preemptive strike of some kind for Lyme's disease, actually, if it exists. shots or medicines that can kill it before it
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, the preemptive strikes for Lyme disease are getting the dog vaccinated. The vaccines are not perfect. Lyme disease is a bacterial disease, and it's just the way the body's immune system works in humans and in dogs. We don't fight bacterial diseases immunologically as well as we do viruses. That's why you get the chickenpox once, but you can get strep throat over and over again. So the Lyme vaccine is excellent, and they've actually just improved, at least the brand we're using, they've improved it this year. So they now consider it to be almost 90% effective, which is pretty darn good. So vaccinating them is good, and then using some really good tick protection. And they've come out with all sorts of great tick preventatives now. From, you know, they have, we have an oral one, there's topical ones, there's collars, and sometimes you can do a combination thereof if you're really in a heavy.
So prevention is the best.
Prevention
medicine.
Is the best way. Absolutely.
All right. Andrew, thanks a lot. Our number is 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin, our guest here on this Pets and Vets edition of Vox Pop. Linda in Pittsfield. Linda, you're next.
Hi. I have a dog with allergies. It's a 5-year-old Scottish Terrier, and I took her to the vet about 2 years ago, maybe, and the vet even had a specialist in, so she now has specialized drops that go under her tongue. I guess they said she was allergic to grass and dust, not food, and but she still gets bumps on her back that are kind of scabby, and she gets these ulcery things on her stomach. I honestly don't see any difference from before the drops to after the drops. And they put her on antibiotics about every 8 weeks, which makes everything go away. And then 6 to 8 weeks go by and they're all back. I just wondered if there was anything else you recommended that I should be doing.
Do you bathe her?
Yes.
How
terribly often? Well, maybe once a week, once every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Should I be doing? I do have some shampoo, actually, some specialized shampoo.
Yeah, I like to use a nice oatmeal-based shampoo for the allergic dogs. If they don't have an active infection, you're just doing it as a preventative.
Would you consider the bumps an active infection?
She's got the scabs and everything, scabs and the bumps, that's, you know, an active skin infection, and she probably does need antibiotics to get rid of that completely. But in between trying to prevent her from getting the infection, would be bathing her 2 to 3 times a week. And the dust mite one is a tough one because, boy, dust mites are really allergenic. So some people will use HEPA filters in their house, making sure you're washing any of her dog beds and any of the bedding that she sleeps on frequently. If you can shampoo your carpets, anything you can do to keep the dust down.
Yeah, I am trying to get a better filter on the furnace.
Yep. And then, as you know, the grass, you can do things like anytime she comes in from outside, just take a damp washcloth and give her a quick wipe down, because you're just trying to decrease her allergen load. So decrease the pollens that she's getting in contact with, that she's going to lick off of herself and absorb through her skin.
And she does have like an Apoquil.
Yep, the Apoquil is great for itch. That's going to help with the itch.
Yep, for itch, right. Yep. And then another little white round pill, I can't remember the name of it, for itch. And a spray, a Betagen spray for her stomach, for the ulcers on her stomach.
Yep. That'll help. That's basically an antibiotic and a little bit of cortisone.
I should keep her on the drops, even though it doesn't seem like they're doing much.
Well, the only way to know is to stop them and see if you see a difference. Unfortunately, that's immunotherapy. That's trying to make her not care about the things that you're giving her little bits of what she's allergic to. And unfortunately, in dogs, it only works about 60% of the time.
So do you think it's like a total waste of money, or do you think it could be keeping them a little bit at bay?
I always say give it at least a year and see.
Okay.
And if you're not noticing a big difference, stop it and see if you notice her getting worse.
Okay. Linda, thanks a lot for the call. Our number is 800-348-2551. Carrie O'Loughlin is our guest. It's Pets and Vets. And Julia in Round Lake is next. Julia.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call,
sure
Dr.
thing.
O'Loughlin.
You're welcome.
I have a 14-week-old standard male schnauzer who looks at me like I'm from Mars when I ask him to do anything. He's got a relatively sweet disposition, but he's totally not interested in cooperating with me at all. Won't look at me. Kind of ignores me, actually. So do I have a, is this a serious behavior problem in the making, or is this typical developmental behavior for a terrier?
Yeah, it can be terrier. They can have a bit of a stubborn streak for sure. But they're also very smart. Is he food motivated at all?
No. He's so funny. He's not. Now I've had other schnauzers before that have had met their ends because of intestinal cancers. So he's on an organic raw diet, which he loves. But he's even as a brand new puppy coming home, 4 weeks ago, was never really too interested in food. So
what about things like squeaker toys? Does he have any interest in squeaker toys?
He has a little interest, but he does get bored quickly. It's like he's got ADD.
Yeah. I'm just thinking if you could do the squeaker toy to get his attention, and then try working with him. Have you had him to?
Are there things that I should be? I'm sorry.
I was going to say, have you had him to an obedience class yet?
We started obedience class yesterday. My main concern is I'm sure that I can get him to a level where he'll be a fine house dog. I am looking for him to become a therapy dog to help me augment the work that I do. I'm just curious. Obviously, you can't be a therapy dog if when you look at your owner, you look at them like you're a stranger and I'm not doing anything you tell me to do.
Yeah, it's a little tough when they're not food motivated. I have a dog who's not food motivated, and it is a little hard to get their attention sometimes. I guess I would try just working with him on a short leash, trying to, just a light, you don't need to use a nasty, like yanking him, but just a gentle tug to get him to look at you. And then lots of praise, lots of praise, lots of praise. Every time he makes eye contact with you, praise, praise, praise. And hopefully, and he is a little in the teenage stage. So, it could just be a passing
phase.
Could
be a phase. Right. That's what happens with kids. 800-348-2551, the telephone number. Carrie O'Loughlin is our guest. We'll take a break and be back for the home stretch.
Support for WAMC comes from Empire Exhibits and Displays, Mechanicville, New York, providing custom fabrication, commercial casework, and interactive kiosks for trade shows, museum exhibits, and special events. EmpireExhibits.com. Kent Hicks Construction, specializing in deep energy retrofits, passive house, zero energy homes, and historic restorations, serving Western Massachusetts for over 25 years. KentHicksConstruction.com. The Waldorf School of Saratoga Springs, giving children the education and tools for the challenges of an ever-changing world. WaldorfSaratoga.org. Saratoga Jewish Cultural Festival, presenting the Klezmer and Kosher Festival with food, music, brew, and more, July 6th at the Schmaltz Brewery, Clifton Park, New York. SaratogaJewishCulturalFestival.org for details. And the 1850 House Inn and Tavern, Rosendale, New York. Waterfront dining on their pet-friendly deck in the Hudson Valley, the1850house.com.
Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff with you at 800-348-2551. Our guest is Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin, and the phone number is 800-348-2551 or email voxpop@wamc.org. And Carrie, this one came in from John via email, who writes, "Hello, my dog, a 13-year-old lab mix, had a large tumor removed from his midsection last year. The area where he was shaved isn't growing back any more than a stubble. Why won't the hair grow back?"
Ah, that has a name. It's called post-clipping alopecia.
Okay.
And for some reason in some dogs, when you clip the hair off shave the hair off, it sort of shuts down the hair follicles.
Ah.
I had this happen to my own lab mix. She had knee surgery when I was in vet school, and they shaved a square on her butt to give her an epidural, and she had a black bald butt for about 6 months.
It does come back?
Well, we thought she was going to have a leather butt for the rest of her life.
Nice.
We were calling her bald butt and naming, you know, all these things. And
it's the first time I've ever heard that phrase on this program. Thank you.
And the next thing you know, there was a few hairs coming through and a few hairs coming through, and the whole thing filled in. So hang in there. Most times, eventually, those hair follicles will wake up and they will start growing hair again.
Can you use a topical like Rogaine?
No.
No, not on
they
a doggy.
They just have to wake up. And often it's seasonal, you know, so they have to go through a couple of seasons and then the hair follicles will come back to life again.
Ah, that's good news. All right, back to the phones we go at 800-348-2551. Doug in Pittsfield. Doug, you're on.
Yeah, I got a question about food, and I'm not going to ask about brand names and all that because I don't want to put anyone on the spot.
Okay.
And the only reason why I called was I was with a friend the other day, and I guess his dog caught a rabbit. So his wife got concerned, called the vet. The vet said, well, it's probably better that he ate the rabbit than what you're feeding him for dog food. Then last night, I'm buzzing around Netflix, and I saw that movie. It came out like in 2014, Dog Fool. And there were two prominent vets in there, and they're feeding their dogs basically raw meat with an egg on. Now, I have three German short hairs, and they seem fine, but, you know, I'm thinking, well, instead of giving the dog food industry $384 million, I could buy raw meat, cook it a little, throw it, and my German short hairs will eat any. They'll eat a pheasant if they can catch it. So, I was always told, don't feed your dogs people food. And I buy a high-quality hunting dog dry food and canned food. But then I saw this, and I'm not, believe me, I'm not organic at all. I'm a McDonald's fiend. You know, can I just buy raw meat, beef chunks, and cook it? And
no.
Would that be-
Why?
Okay. No, no.
Well, that solves that problem.
Yeah. No.
Why, though, Doc?
Because it's not a balanced diet. You know, dogs in the wild don't just eat the flesh. They eat the skin, the ears, the toenails, pretty much the whole thing.
Okay.
But dogs in the wild also probably only live 3, 4, 5 years.
Yeah.
So if you only want your dog to live 3, 4, 5 years, you know,
okay,
feed it straight meat or whatever. I went to a talk recently by a nutritionist, and she was talking about the whole raw food diet thing. And she said that they did some testing, and people that make their own dog food at home, over 90% of them that they tested were not balanced. Of the raw food diets, unfortunately, while they can potentially be balanced, a lot of them have bacteria. Huh. And she told a story of someone who worked in her practice who fed raw diet and had a neighborhood kid feeding the dogs while they were away, and the kid ended up in the hospital with listeriosis. Because, yeah. So keep feeding your dog what you're doing. You're
okay.
Doing a great job. Okay. They're nice and healthy.
All right.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
And maybe they'll catch a pheasant. It'll work out.
Exactly.
Let's go over to Kate in Lenox. Kate, you're on.
Hi. I actually have a couple quick questions. My first question was about my cat. I have a cat, spayed female. She's a little over a year old, and she likes to play fetch. You throw a ball for her, and she brings it back to you. Well, after she's chased it 3 or 4 times, she's panting. Is that normal, or should I be worrying about that?
If she's really running hard,
yeah, she runs really hard.
Is your dog a smoker, Kate?
No, it's a cat.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Sorry about that.
But it also, unfortunately, can be a sign of heart disease. And heart disease in cats is, unfortunately, way too common.
Yeah.
And it's sometimes hard to diagnose because they don't always have a heart murmur.
Okay.
There is now a blood test that you can do in cats that will give you an idea of whether they're at risk for having heart disease.
Cardiac enzymes and stuff?
Yeah, it's actually a test that looks for stretching of the heart muscle and enlargement of the heart muscle.
So, okay, I'll take her and get her.
Yeah, so that's something. And now some vets, we just got it in recently. We can do it right in-house.
Oh, terrific.
So,
okay.
And how long does the analysis take?
Oh, just minutes.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, terrific. Go ahead, Kate.
And the other question was about my dog. I have a puppy who was born March 2nd. He was treated by the breeder with metronidazole. Not really clear why he was treated with metronidazole, but when my vet checked him, they did an antigen test, which I guess most vets don't do, and found an antigen for Giardia. He is totally symptom free. There's no diarrhea, no vomiting, no issues whatsoever. And I opted not to do an antibiotic regimen because he's symptom free. Is that okay? Or should I just treat him? I mean, he still has no symptoms, and it's been a couple of months now.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't worry about it.
All right.
I'm sure there are a lot of us walking around with Giardia, you know, so if it's not,
exactly.
if you're not sick, I wouldn't worry about it.
Okay. I mean, you know, and that was the thing. I didn't want to put him on. I mean, I know there are side effects with Flagyl, and I just didn't want to put him on that when he had no symptoms. So.
Right.
Okay. Thank you very much, and I'll get my cat checked.
Okay.
Thanks, Kate. We appreciate it. 800-348-2551, the number. Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin, our guest on Pets and Vets. Bill in Niskayuna. Bill, you're on.
Thank you. We adopted a Russian Blue mixed breed who had a really tough background. He's got some behavior problems. He tends to be a little bit aggressive and defensive. And I was wondering, we have a two-cat family, our purebred, who's almost exactly the same age, about 8-9 months they both are, is a very calm cat. But, you know, he's getting the rough end of this. What should we do?
So what exactly is the newer cat doing?
Well, they were both introduced at almost exactly the same time, so really they're about the same time. And we did the introduction program that we were supposed to do and all that. He bites, he scratches, he attacks the other cat, and he pounces on the people in the house and attacks them.
Yeah, I have one. It must be something about the gray cats, because I have a gray cat that does the same thing at my house. I jokingly say he's Dennis the Menace with ADHD.
Oh no!
You know my cat.
Yeah, yeah. He tortures everybody in the house. Unfortunately, very sweet, but yeah, he's got too much time on his hands. I actually spoke to a behaviorist about my cat because he bullies some of my other cats and all that. And what she had recommended is to work with him and teach him. And I know Ray never believes you can do this, but you can train cats.
Nice.
And she had me clicker train him. And if you Google how to clicker train a cat, do you know what a clicker is?
No.
You can go to PetSmart, any one of the pet stores, and they're like this little, it makes like a cricket sound. It's a little,
okay.
It's a little metal thing that you just push together and it goes click, 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 click. It makes a little cricket sound. And
okay.
The idea is you click, give them a treat, click, give them a treat, click, until they learn that click sounds equals them getting a treat.
Ah.
And then you start to teach them how to sit. I taught him how to sit. I taught him how to give high fives.
Oh,
I taught
cut
him
it
how to
out.
I taught him how to turn. And the idea is when he starts getting rambunctious is you get him distracted and start doing some of his tricks. And then the other thing was she wanted me to teach him to go to a certain like chair and sit. I was not as successful with that with him, but of course I also got busy and lazy and we've just learned to live with him, but you can try, you know, teaching him things and distracting him so that when he starts being a little annoying, you can, you know,
distract
him. You don't need the clicker after a while. You just, you know, hey, buddy, sit, you know, high five.
Oh, that is ridiculous. Your cat high fives.
He does.
Bill, I'll believe that when it's on YouTube. Hey, Bill, good luck with the gray kitty from Hades. Let's go over to Carol in Duanesburg. Carol.
Hi. I have a 5-year-old Anatolian Shepherd mix. He's a very well-behaved dog. He's been to a lot of training classes. We live out in the country, so we do a lot of country walks, and we also do a lot of hiking in the woods. He has been perfectly fine up until about 2 months ago. We have a lot of people who do hunting and target shooting out here, and when he hears the gunshot, he runs in the house, goes finds a spot and just waits it out. But three times in the past 2 months, we've been out walking when there's been target shooting, so he has nowhere to go. He totally freaks out, shakes and shivers, throws himself down, won't move. It got so bad one time that I told my husband, I'll run home and get the car and come back and get you guys. And when I started running, he just, he ended up getting up and running after me, thankfully. And so we've been taking him out every night regardless and trying to help him work through it. And we're about 75% successful. I'm not sure if I'm, are we hurting him by doing this, though?
No, so what are you doing to help him?
Well, we're taking him out every night, and we, you know, put his collar on, and he gets excited, and then he starts going up the driveway, and he starts to balk, and at that point, I go, come on, let's go, and start running, and then he comes along with us, but every maybe 10 yards, he'll stop and try to go home or start shaking, or his tail is between his legs, and we just encourage him. We bring treats. We run a little bit, but he's always very nervous. Okay. He's fine out in the woods when we're on a hike.
Yeah.
Only out on the rural road.
Okay. Yeah, so what you want to do when you have a dog that's being afraid is people's automatic thing is to go, oh, honey, it's okay. Don't be afraid. It's okay.
Yeah, never do that.
Good, because you're telling him it's okay to be afraid. Instead, what you want to do is, especially if he's been to training classes, this is a great time to suddenly, you know, go, hey, look, come on, heel. Good boy, heel. Okay, sit. You know, do whatever down, do whatever commands that he's comfortable with, and then lots of praise, and then just keep walking like nothing happened, you know, and just, you know.
We have been doing that. My solid question to you was that the right thing to do, or are we hurting him?
Yeah,
so
no.
You're saying that's the right thing to do.
Nope, I think that's the right thing to do.
Great. Thank you very much.
Good luck.
I appreciate it.
Carol, thank you. Over to Dan in Albany. Dan, you're on.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I have one question and a follow-up.
Okay.
My first question is, we have a 3.5-year-old black lab. Last week he was limping. We took him in and he was diagnosed with a torn ACL.
Mm.
So naturally they gave us the estimate for the potential surgery. And so I decided that my kids won't eat the next year and then we'll be good. No, but in all seriousness, we were wondering – we are going to get a second opinion, but we were wondering if there are any other options or treatments available, or is surgery the only other possibility?
Well, unfortunately, you cannot do surgery. And the dog will heal, but he will develop some pretty bad arthritis. And not to say he won't develop some arthritis even if he has a surgery, but it will be much, much less than if he has no surgery. I mean, that said, I have had clients who just don't have the funds for surgery.
Yeah.
And then you just treat the dog for the arthritis. You know, you put them on glucosamine, they are on a lot of pain medication. And some dogs actually heal pretty well, but the ideal thing, especially in a 3-year-old, you know, you can call around for various options as far as the prices of surgery. But the other option is talk about payment plans. You know, you don't have to necessarily pay everything right up front. A lot of places will let you pay it off over time.
Okay.
Okay, thank you. The second question I had briefly was, we initially thought that it was actually because of a cyst that he had growing on his paw, and that's why he was going limp, and that's when they diagnosed for the torn ACL. So I was wondering, too, in terms of is it better to have that biopsy first and looked at first, or should we just get the whole thing done together?
Is it a cyst in between his toes?
No, it's like on the corner of his paw. It's almost like a it almost looks like another part of the pad on his paw.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, they could probably check that out while he's under for the surgery. That would probably be the easiest.
Good time to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, my guess is that probably is unrelated to the ACL.
Yes, yes. That's what their diagnosis was. But we just weren't sure if it's worth kind of separating the two or just getting them done at once.
Right. And they can always, I don't know if they've done this yet, but a lot of times you can just stick a needle in and get a few cells out of this thing and get an idea of what it might be and whether it's something that needs to come off or something that'll go away on its own or isn't going to bother him.
Okay. Dan, thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.
Well, I guess that's, we have so many calls on the line, but I think that's where we will have to leave the program. If people want to find out more about Del Mar Animal Hospital, Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin, how do they do with that on the web?
DelmarAnimalHospital.com.
Yeah, and how's the website? Is that also under construction, like the building?
No, that actually got revamped recently.
Really?
So, yes.
Oh, pretty sharp. And when does the building renovation finish?
Good question. Well, hopefully we're getting the last of the floors done this coming weekend, we hope. And then we still have a few other things, interior doors and trim work and things.
Do I have to call to get you that corner office? No?
You have to talk to my boss.
All right. Well, we'll get on the line. Well, thank you very much for being here, Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin, our underwriting for this program. Thanks to Pelham Auto Service at the Amherst Belchertown line, located by the sign of the Flying Pig, a worker-owned and operated service repairing foreign cars since 1972, PelhamAuto.com. Studio Herbage, a contemporary floral design studio in historic downtown Johnstown, New York. Local and long-distance delivery, studioherbageflorist.com. Waterwheel Village, Galway, New York, a country store since 1923, offering aged cheddar cheeses, nostalgic candies, New York products, and gifts, waterwheelvillage.com. And Curtis Lumber, providing home improvement products and advice to homeowners and contractors, and supporting local communities for over a century, CurtisLumber.com. Thanks again to Carrie O'Loughlin of the Del Mar Animal Hospital for being here today. Thanks to you for listening. Mucho apologies to all those who called that we did not get to today. We only have so much time in the program. I do the best I can, and thank you for the great calls we did get. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Carol Lapani answered the calls today. Our producer is Jim Lavoulis. I'm Ray Graff. Oh, boy. Tomorrow is the Science Forum. This is exciting stuff. Try to get some sleep tonight. I'll see you tomorrow at 2.